Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. This program is where we expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news this morning, I'm going to try to explain why these things are happening and reveal what it means, not only to those you love and how it will affect them, but what it will mean for the days that lie ahead. Then, during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms. We're going to speak of His Torah, which means teaching, not law, which is something that is understood and you gain intellectually from, as opposed to something you obey. And we're going to speak of His covenant, and especially of the renewal of His covenant and why He established His covenant with us in the first place. As always, for those who are rational, this will be the best part of today's program. Normally, at this time, I would share the phone number for our program and invite whoever wishes to add to the conversation to call us. But today's show has been pre-recorded. I've done so because I'm attending a family wedding. I will be back live with you again on Monday. One last note before we begin. If you are interested in seeking verification for anything I say, if you want the evidence behind the conclusions, then I invite you to read a website that contains my most recent book. You'll find it at introtogod.org, introtogod.org. That's a 1,100-page analysis of the seven things most important to God: His Word, His name, the very essence of this discussion, His Torah, which means His teaching, His covenant, His terms and conditions for participating in that covenant, or His instructions, if you will. This then leads to His invitations to meet with Him and His way. These topics are not only presented from His testimony, but in addition to that, in an intro to God, I provide you with the tools that you will need, not only to verify everything that I have shared, not only to affirm the translations that are prepared for you in that book, but also the very tools that will equip you to go on your own voyage of discovery and enjoy the process of engaging with God in this way. My first book on Yahweh was entitled Yada Yah. You'll find it at yadayah.com. Yada is the Hebrew word for to know. Yah is the familial form of Yahweh's name. So at yadayah.com, you will find a seven-volume book, some 2,500 pages that present Yah's prophetic testimony so that you might come to know for certain that He exists, and you will know what He has predicted and promised. Prophecy is how God proves His existence and proves His authorship of His testimony. For those statements that I make about Islam, you will find the proof for them in the 1,000 pages of Prophet of Doom. You can go to prophetofdoom.net for that. As in the case with the introtogod.org and yadayah.com, prophetofdoom.net is entirely free. The entire book is presented for your review without cost. The same thing is true at questioningpaul.com. There you will find proof that Paul was a false prophet and should be entirely disregarded. We are continuing to celebrate Sukkah, this celebration of camping out with God on this Friday. And so in our review of Yah's testimony, we will advance our understanding of this very special occasion. earlier in the week, on Monday and again on Tuesday, we spoke at length about the corruption of Roman Catholicism and its sexual abuse. On Monday, we had a call from Peter, who shared his personal horror, not once but twice, at the hands of the Roman Catholic Church in Canada, where he was sexually abused as a young boy, and then as a man abused again when he sought an apology and support from the very institution that had ripped away his youth. During those discussions, I had promised that I would provide more information on the pervasive nature of the sexual abuse scandal that has now erupted in Australia, in the Victorian province of the land down under. And I'm going to do so now as part of this program. It's important that you understand the scope of the pedophilic priest phenomenon that has haunted the Roman Catholic world. This story out of Australia is just one of scores of countries where similar allegations have been affirmed and where the scope is massive in scale. Peter's claims do not stand alone. The Roman Catholic Church has abused millions of children. This report I'm going to share with you came from Wikipedia. It is the result of the collaboration and research of many individuals. It begins, "The Catholic sexual abuse scandal in Australia is part of the wider Catholic sexual abuse scandal, which are a series of convictions, trials, and ongoing investigations into allegations of sex crimes committed by Catholic priests and members of their religious orders. As at August 2011, according to Broken Rights, a support and advocacy group for church-related sex abuse victims." Imagine that. There are so many of them, you actually have to have advocate groups for church-related sex abuse victims. "There have been over 100 cases where Catholic priests have been charged for child sex offenses in Australia, as well as others involving non-custodial sentences and inconclusive proceedings. There are also numerous cases involving members of religious orders, both priests and brothers and lay teachers, although the latter are not the subject of this article as it appears on Wikipedia. Other sources concern, in addition, other sources of concern, I should say, in addition to the abuse itself, was the failure of the Roman Catholic Church to prevent future abuse by clergy who had come to the attention of the religious authorities of dioceses and the religious orders or schools, transferring clergy and religious individuals to further opportunities for abuse. The handling of allegations of abuse and the continuing honoring within the church of known sex offenders." That's a powerful statement. What this says is the same thing that we have read worldwide, that when Roman Catholic priests were found to have engaged in acts of pedophilia, abusing young boys and girls, that their immediate supervisors were instructed by individuals as high up as cardinals and even the Pope to sweep the matter under the rug, to hide the evidence, to not expose the crime, to not apologize for the crime, to instead deny. And that's what they've done. And what they would do is they would simply transfer the priest to a new venue where his pedophilic tendencies were unknown, and therefore make it possible, actually enabling the pedophile to find more victims. They're also accused, here as elsewhere around the world, of specifically mishandling the allegations of abuse. In other words, covering them up in direct breach of all forms of national and international law. Aiding and abetting the pedophiles and failing to disclose the crime. You know, it is a crime to witness a crime, to be made aware of a crime and not report it. And want the evidence of that? Look at Penn State. When they were notified that Sandusky was committing acts of pedophilia on their premises and they did not report it. That is a crime. Third, the Roman Catholic Church is being accused here, as it is around the world, of dishonoring the victims of their priestly abuse, perpetrating anguish on those they had already tormented. Now, this story continues. In 2012, a police report detailed 40 suicide deaths directly related to abuse by Catholic clergy in Victoria alone. In one state of one country, Australia, 40 individuals committed suicide because of the tragic burden that was perpetrated upon them by the Roman Catholic Church and its priests. 40 suicide deaths. Roman Catholicism is deadly. A bishop in the Newcastle diocese has supported some of the public inquiry into the issue. But there's none others that are even listed as Roman Catholics who supported the investigation as to why 40 Catholics took their lives. On September 13th of 2011, a senator used parliamentary privilege to name a priest as the alleged perpetrator of 6 sexual assaults on John Hepworth about 50 years earlier. So this case came to light not because the Roman Catholic Church had a conscience, not because they wanted to do the right things for the victims, not because they wanted to apologize for their past crimes, not because they wanted to stop priests from continuing to abuse young boys and girls, but because they were caught by the public authorities, who were vastly more honorable than were they. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back to this story in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We're in the midst of considering a Wikipedia presentation of the facts surrounding the horrific story of widespread priestly pedophilia perpetrated by the Roman Catholic Church upon the Victoria province in Australia. What we were just considering here a moment ago was the fact that a senator brought this to the attention of the public. The Roman Catholic Church did not divulge its known past. It did not seek to prevent future acts of pedophilia being perpetrated on innocent children by exposing and condemning and holding those who had done so previously accountable. They did not try to prevent the suicides of previous victims by embracing them, by apologizing to them. No. The Roman Catholic Church ran from this. They hid it under the carpet. They swept it under the rug. They did everything they could do to deceive for a specific purpose. And that is, they wanted people to continue to fill their pews. They wanted to continue to control the masses. They wanted to continue to fleece them. They wanted all of the power that credibility brings. And therefore, they chose to lie and to deceive, causing ever more children to be vulnerable and leading to the deaths of these 40 individuals. So this senator named Xenophon alleged that the vicar general of Allied, Monsignor David Capo, had been provided with detailed allegations in 2008, but had failed to act upon them. The investigation still being, quote, at a preliminary stage, and the priest concerned not being stood down during the investigation. So he did what has happened in country after country, in city after city around the world. He was told that a priest was conducting acts of pedophilia, but he allowed the priest to continue in his priestly duties, did not relieve him of responsibility, did not expose him to the legal authorities, and allowed him to continue to abuse children. And then, rather than revealing the nature of his investigation, here now in 2011, 3 years after it began, he said, my investigation is still at a preliminary stage, and did not reveal the evidence. That is disgusting. That would be disgusting for any institution, but an institution that claims, errantly, to speak on behalf of God, it is inexcusable. So Monsignor Capo subsequently resigned from several governmental positions, combining this quest for political power with religious influence. A formal independent inquiry found that there was no substance to the allegations. However, Father Albert Davis, who died in 2007, a member of the Dominican Fathers, was charged in 2006 with 17 incidents of indecent assault involving seven different boys at the Blackfriars Priority School. This happened between 56 and 1960. Davis was committed to stand trial in the Allende District Court, but he died before the proceedings commenced. In other words, the leading Catholic vicar general not only knew of these crimes, but the person who perpetrated them has been proven guilty. The diocese has been referred to as the epicenter of the Catholic clerical sexual abuse scandal in Australia due to the vast number of pedophile priests with extensive abuse records having now been jailed since 1997. A dedicated clergy abuse police strike force having laid more than 170 abuse charges at Catholic priests. Now convicted abusers include Father Vincent Ryan. A $6 million compensation payout was given to the victims, setting a record for the Catholic Church in Australia. Father David O'Hearn, due to stand trial, when this was written, it is now past tense, in June 2010. And Father James Fletcher, who died in jail in 2006. John Sidney Deham pleaded guilty to 29 sex charges involving 27 different boys under his care while a Roman Catholic priest in Newcastle, Australia in the 1970s. 29 sex charges, 29 boys. And he was able to continue because the Roman Catholic Church did nothing about it. We'll return to this particular aspect of priestly abuse when Shattering Myths continues after the break. Shattering the Myths. So we are continuing our review of Roman Catholicism and sexual abuse as it was perpetrated on so many innocent victims, some 10,000 in all, with some 40 of them knowingly having taken their lives as a result of not only having been abused by the Roman Catholic Church, but of the Roman Catholic Church denying what it did, hiding from what it did, and abusing their abuse victims. Well, it was alleged that the Archbishop of Allendale, Philip Wilson, knew about the clerical sexual abuse scandal when he was serving in the Diocese of Newcastle in the late 70s and 80s. On July in 2012, John Perrona was found dead in his car 5 days after leaving a letter ending, "This has been too much pain," referring to his abuse by a pedophile priest in 1979 when John was just 12. The event occurring a year after the Newcastle Bishop Leo Clark was informed the priest was a sex offender. So the Roman Catholic Church knew. They had written evidence of priestly abuse signed in blood with a note from John Perrona, who was the first that we know that committed suicide because he was abused when he was 12, and the pain was too much because the church continued to deny his abuse, continued to abuse him rather than to admit to their offense. Later in July of 2012, police and the Strike Force Lantel announced that it would be providing prosecutors with evidence that Father Brian Lucas, General Secretary of the Australian Catholic Bishops Conference, Archbishop Philip Wilson of the Allendale, and Michael Monrone, retired Bishop of Midland Newcastle, had committed the offense of concealing a serious crime under statutes of the Crimes Acts of 1900. In concealing child sexual abuse by the priest Dennis McLendon, who is now deceased in the Newcastle Diocese. This is rampant around the world. There are countless letters that have been exposed, which prove that the Roman Catholic Church knew full well that its priests were committing acts of pedophilia against children, whereas they were abusing them sexually in enormous numbers, and that the documents, all many of them from Cardinal Ratzinger, who is now Pope, all have the same theme, which is to protect the church, to deny, to withhold evidence. Well, withholding evidence of a serious crime like pedophilia is a crime, and they're now being held accountable, but not because of their conscience, but because the public sector is more righteous now than is the religious. The evidence includes an admission by then Midland Castle, Newcastle Bishop Leo Clark to McElhinney that your good name will be protected by the confidential nature of the process. In other words, one bishop wrote to his superior in the church that the most important thing was protecting the name of a higher up in the church because they were going to conduct their investigation in secret. Despite your admission, he said, he would continue to write to Father Brian Lucas and other evidence, and a letter from the late Newcastle Monsignor Patrick Cotter to Bishop Clark that McElhinney, quote, feels so much inclination towards mature females, but towards little ones. I have never heard of this condition before, and knowing the Father as we do not think it can be real serious. In other words, they have a paper trail that demonstrates that they knew, that he had an inclination. He feels no inclination towards, he has not sexually attracted to mature females, but is inclined towards little ones, that he was a pedophile, and they chose to ignore it. That is a crime. Absolute proof in their own hand, even with them admitting that all of the evidence showing that they knew was not going to disparage their good name. It was a conspiracy to conceal. In 2002, Vincent Chris, 70, pleaded guilty in the Sydney District Court for sex crimes against four teenage boys, aged 13 to 17, between 1966 and 1973. Kiss was the Catholic diocesan director of youth in Wagga Wagga at the time of the offenses of the four victims, who were all members of the Young Christian Students Association. The Catholic Church never confessed to the crime. In 1993, Mercury alleged that a parish priest, Father Louis Comsoli, and Brother Michael Evans had been involved in the sexual abuse of boys. Here, the newspaper was revealing the story, not the Roman Catholic Church. Comsoli was jailed and was later named during the Wood Royal Commission, and Evans, the victim, committed suicide. In 2010, Kelvin Sharkey, 83, was sentenced in the Wollongong District Court to 15 months in jail for sexually abusing an altar boy on three occasions, the last in 1975, when he was a parish priest. St. Stanislaus College in the 1970s and 80s was referred to by an old boy as a pedophile paradise due to the activities of pedophile priests there. William Stanley Irwin, 55, for instance, a Catholic brother, was convicted on March 31, 2011, by a jury in the Sydney District on two counts of gross indecency on a male under the age of 18 at that college. Having been asked by the boy's parents to console him in relationship to prior sexual abuse, Irwin kissed the youth and initiated mutual masturbation when the pair stayed at the boarding school overnight during a road trip. Irwin was later a dormitory master at a school for 2 years, and later a chaplain and teacher at a local college. Just simply moved around so that he could continue to satiate his lust for young boys. Kelvin Phillips similarly pleaded guilty in a Sydney District Court in 2010 to four counts of gross indecency on children under the age of 18. He was sentenced in 2011, another 15 months in jail, although he had destroyed the lives of many. On the first of three counts, he was sentenced to a concurrent term, which has now expired. On the final charge of gross indecency, he was sentenced to another 9 months. Brian Joseph Spillane was also convicted, another Roman Catholic priest, in November of 2010 on nine counts of indecent assault, this time against three little girls between 8 and 17. There were another 135 charges pending against Spillane, offenses against both boys and girls while he was chaplain. In 1992, after allegations, this is in another diocese, arose that priests had been abusing some of his parishioners, and a meeting was held between the accused priest and three senior members of the clergy. As a result of the meeting, the priest was banned from conducting Mass, but was otherwise permitted to continue serving as a priest. He was ultimately defrocked in 2005, 13 years later. In 2012, allegations arose that the Four Corners program, that priests had admitted to committing acts of child sexual abuse. In the Melbourne Archdiocese, Michael Glennon was sentenced to 22 years in jail on a non-parole period for sexually penetrating a child under the age of 16, and then sexually penetrating, sodomizing a child under the age of 10. David Daniel was sentenced to 6 years in jail for molesting four boys, also a girl and an adult male. Wilfred Becker was sentenced to 4 years in prison, 16 counts of indecent assault and gross indecency involving eight boys, age 13, 10 to 13, over a 20-year period, he was allowed to continue to stalk and abuse children because of the lack of response by Roman Catholics. Three priests were investigated and prosecuted for sexual abuse, which took place at the Rumswood College during the 1990s. In another diocese, Ballarat, a priest, Ramsdale, pleaded guilty to 81 sex offenses, including buggery, indecent assault, and gross indecency against 41 children. 40 boys and one girl. Later in August of 2011, two more Roman Catholic clerics were sentenced in Victorian County for 27 offenses, perpetrating 27 sexual offenses against 11 boys. One of the offenses included the rape of a 9-year-old boy who was physically impaired. Imagine. Imagine how warped you have to be, how polluted, how corrupted you have to be, not only as an individual, but as an institution, to allow this to happen, to perpetrate these crimes, and then to enable and abet the perpetrators and not come to the rescue of the victims. I have said before, and I will say again, the most evil institution on planet Earth today is the Roman Catholic Church. The fact that it continues to exist, the fact that it is enriched and empowered, is a stain on the entire world. Every Roman Catholic ought to look themselves in the mirror to say, what on earth am I doing associating with this evil institution, this Prince of Babylon that would lie and to deceive so many, hurting so many, torturing little children, and then abusing them as adults as they have failed to correct their actions or be accountable for their crimes. Special edition of Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yana. It's a special edition, and that this program was pre-recorded early in the week to be able to be broadcast at this time. Another item in the news that I wish to transition to, because I don't want to give the impression that Roman Catholicism is the only warped and rotten religion in the world. It isn't. Islam, in many ways, is worse. When it comes to deception, I think that Roman Catholicism is the worst. Obviously, when we deal with sexual abuse of children, Roman Catholicism is the worst religion. But when it comes to just outright violence and killing, well, it's hard to compete with Islam. This story is from Nigeria, which has been absolutely torn in half. While Nigeria was predominantly a Christian country, it was the most free, most prosperous country in all of Africa to live. I had the great pleasure many times on my travels through some 150 to 200 countries around the world to rub elbows with Nigerians. They were always an enlightened, wonderful, gracious, charming people. Well, something tragic has happened in Nigeria over these last 20 to 30 years, and that is now the population is equally Islamic as it is Christian, and the Muslims are fundamentalists. Therefore, they will die to impose Sharia law not only on themselves, but on everyone. And the only way they know to impose their way, Sharia law, isn't by rhetoric, it isn't by argument, it isn't by evidence, it isn't by presenting the merits of Sharia law, which is the most repulsive legal system ever perpetrated on humanity. It is through killing. It is through terror. And that is what we're witnessing now. At least 20 people, mostly students, were murdered by gunmen in Mumbai in northeastern Nigeria. The attack happened at a student hostel away from the Federal Polytechnic Mumbai campus. A lecturer told the BBC that more than 40 students have been killed, but there is no official comment. The reported killing comes days after a major operation against the Boko Haram militant group occurred in that town. The Boko Haram means is inappropriate. Books are inappropriate. Learning is inappropriate. It's a swipe at Western education where people are reportedly taught history. They're reportedly presented with information and taught to be rational and reasonable. Well, you see, that is the single greatest threat to Islam. Islam does not exist where information is available. Islam only prevails when only Islam can be considered. Islam prospers under blasphemy laws that kill anyone who would speak out against Muhammad, Allah, the Quran, or Islam. And so, since the greatest threat to Islam is information and reason, this Islamic terrorist group exists and has named itself to attack that primary source of their enemy. This ability to dissuade Muslims from being Muslims by presenting them with evidence and encouraging them to think. The lecturer, who did not want his name to be used because Muslims have this tendency to kill anyone who speaks out against them, told the BBC's news service that men in wearing uniforms asked the students to line up and say their names. If they gave a Christian name, they were shot dead, or they were stabbed with knives, and their bodies were left outside in the buildings. The lecturer said it was not clear why some were killed and others spared. Everybody is scared. He said that the students were now leaving the town, many with tree branches over their cars, a traditional sign of neutrality in Nigeria. You see, when you deal with a religion like Islam, where Allah said that Muslims must continue to wage war against non-Muslims until only Islam prevails, there will be no neutrality. There will be no peace. Islam will continue to wage war against all mankind until the entire world surrenders to Islam, and even then there will be no peace, because Muslims will raise their hand against other Muslims. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. When we return, we will turn our attention to Yahweh and to Sukkah and its celebration, which is ongoing.
This is Steve Schultz, and you've been hearing top radio personalities talk about longevity and how people are getting healthy and making an income at home. You see, I've built a seven-figure income.